back. You're listening to Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy. Today's topic is two bills introduced into the Montana House of Representatives that are strongly opposed by LGBTQ groups and civil rights groups. We have been discussing these with Kendra Nevin, who testified against both bills, as well as with Dr. Lauren Wilson, who is a pediatrician and testified against them. In the last half hour, which for me flew by, we talked about House Bill 113, which would have limited the kinds of treatment, medical treatment, that trans youth could get and would have penalized doctors who provided care. I'd like to talk about HB 1112, which is a different kind of a bill. It's not strictly medical, but it certainly impacts, I think, the mental health, as well as, you could argue, in some ways, the physical health of trans youth. Dr. Wilson, could you explain to us what House Bill 1112 could do? Because that bill is still alive.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. That bill is one that would define sports participation for kids' sports such that, as they put it, biological males cannot compete on teams with females. And this is a piece of legislation that's been introduced in other states. It's being introduced in other states this year. It was actually passed by the Idaho legislature last year. And it was immediately blocked by a judge.
Oh, good.
So this is not new. Yeah.
So how have sports organizations, like, for example, the NCAA, how have they dealt with issues of whether or not someone born assigned one gender at birth has to play only on that gender's team, or what are the guidelines?
Sure. Yeah. So a lot of the preoccupation with this bill is about elite athletes and competitive athletes. And I think it's important to talk about that. I think it's also important to recognize that a lot of the people affected are just school kids who want to play on a team. And I think that gets lost in this. But I will say the NCAA has a pretty good guideline that really asks for and provides for inclusion of transgender athletes. They have overall an inclusive stance. And when they're looking at people who were assigned male at birth, who identify as female, participating on women's teams, they do have some medical criteria. They like to see that people have been on a hormone suppressive therapy for testosterone. They've been on estrogen for at least a year. And in that year, we know that athletic performance does kind of return more or less to the what one would expect to see with someone who is female at birth and is cisgender.
So for kids, especially little kids, but really I guess anybody, not being able to participate on the team that they of the gender they identify with, how does this affect their mental health? And Kendra, I want to ask you to talk about that, because I know that you did a whole project on mental health among trans people and health in general in rural Montana, and some of this came up.
Yeah, it did. Basically, I was involved with what we called the Rural Transgender Wellness Project, and what we did was we interviewed actual transgender people from Montana to determine, you know, what variables contributed to their sense of well-being and also to things up to and including suicidality. And so I can't remember how many I interviewed, but it was a lot, and it was all over the state. And I interviewed people of all ages. And one of the main determinants of well-being, or the feeling of wellness, was the fact that they could transition and that they could feel like they belonged in their community. And part of that, for some of the people that were athletic and cared about athletics, was the fact that they could continue to be involved in their sport of their choice. And I even have some personal experience with it, because after I transitioned, pre-transition, I ran a lot. I was never an elite runner, but I was a dedicated runner, and I really liked running and organized distance events. I even ran in the Bridger Ridge Run.
Wow.
Yeah, back in 2007. So, you know, after my transition, after I medically transitioned, I was kind of excited to get back to it. And but I was being mindful of how other people in competition would feel about me.
Uh-huh.
And so I, you know, looked up the IOC rules, which I knew, you know, the NCAA also followed, which I figured was probably going to be, you know, what our local running organizations probably would follow as well. So I waited until, in that case, I thought it was 2 years after a medical transition, you know, having been on cross-sex hormones for that long. And I didn't do my first organized run until that time. And when I did do that organized run, I registered under my legal name, you know, who I am, and, you know, under the sex that I am. And after I did the run, I was really excited because I usually would go to the paper just so I could see my name and where I ranked with everybody. And couldn't find my name under the women's. They moved it over to the men's.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. And it was so devastating that that was the last time I ran an organized event.
Well, that is so sad and infuriating.
Yeah, it was painful. I mean, I guess I can laugh about it now, but it's kind of a loss in my life not to have that. But I don't want to go through that public humiliation anymore. And I should mention that, you know, as I was going through transition, as I was training, I always tracked my progress all the time. So uh-huh. I knew exactly where I was as far as performance goes. And uh-huh. yes, I lost significant performance. And basically, I went from a middle finishing male finisher to a middle finishing female.
Interesting.
If I had been listed in the correct category, it would have been right in the middle, exactly where I was before
wow.
transition. So,
Dr. Wilson, do you want to weigh in on this from a medical perspective?
Sure. Yeah, pediatricians think that sports are incredibly important for kids. So it doesn't matter if you're cisgender or transgender, it's an important thing for your physical health, for your mental health, and for your emotional health. And so that this idea of excluding transgender kids, telling a child who goes to school all day as a boy that they have to now play on a girls' team or vice versa, is an incredible burden to them and really essentially bans them from participating. And so for health reasons, we think that's a terrible idea. For equality reasons, we think that's a terrible idea as well. And I also think it's kind of silly. I mean, if you walk by a high school and you see a freshman football team practicing, you're going to see, you know, an 80-pound guy next to a guy who looks like an adult. And we don't try to regulate those differences. And somehow we're wanting to do this for kids. You know, I think the elite athlete idea gets a lot of attention, but we're really talking about kids building relationships, being part of a community, being healthy. And I think that's something we all should be able to support. And we can, you know, leave the regulation of kind of these super upper level athletes to the organizations that already do that.
So for those of us who agree with you that this bill would be bad for physical and mental health, what this bill is still alive right now. What is the legislative process? What's going to happen next? And at what point and how do we get involved?
So this bill was just assigned a fiscal note, which for those of you who are involved in this process know means that they need to look in greater detail at the financial impact. And that's not a trivial thing for this bill, because we know that in response to trans exclusionary policies, the NCAA has canceled tournaments in the past. We might be jeopardizing some of our Title IX funding because there is some federal rulemaking that says that we're not allowed to discriminate like this. So it could be a huge financial impact for Montana if they do account for that. And then after that process, I think it would be voted on again in a committee on the House side and then potentially on the floor and then go to the Senate. And then it would have to be signed by the governor to become law. And after that, it would probably be challenged in court if it were to be signed into law. So all throughout that process, people could be involved, and that involves calling your representative, your senator, getting your opinion heard, and also talking to people in your community and just building groups who can respond to this sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, I contacted my representative. I don't think she listened. Kendra, do you want to talk more about how people can get involved?
Well, I just wanted to mention that a very similar bill, I believe it was last year, passed in Idaho. And
yeah, that's
became,
what Dr. Wilson
you know,
was
law
saying.
There, but it got hung up in the courts, and it will probably be there until it gets shot down in the courts. So I believe the next hearing would be in the Ninth Circuit, which, you know, chances of it standing there aren't very good.
Yeah, but
yeah, I would agree, Kendra.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we really think that this bill is illegal, which is kind of begs the question why we're bothering to do this to transgender kids. It's just wasting money for Montana. And, you know, the courts thus far have really not allowed this sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Wilson, Kendra Neva, I thank you both for joining us today and for your work on behalf of kids. This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman. Unlike House Bill 113, which was killed on the floor, House Bill 112 is still live. It would require transgender kids in sports to play on the teams, boys or girls, corresponding to their assigned sex at birth rather than to their gender identity. On Martin Luther King Day, numerous organizations and individuals testified to the House Judiciary Committee about why they opposed this bill. Let's listen to some of the voices of opposition.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, S.J. Howell, that's H-O-W-E-L-L. I'm the executive director of Montana Women Vote. I'm going to keep this very brief. You're going to hear from a lot of folks who have both personal and professional reasons to oppose these bills. I'm going to read a short list of organizations that also stand on the record in opposition to HB 112. That list is Montana Women Vote, Montana Human Rights Network, Forward Montana, the Montana Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, Empower Montana, the Montana Gender Alliance, the Montana Chapter of the National Social Workers Association, the Montana Racial Equity Project, the Indigenous Organizers Collective, Planned Parenthood of Montana, Pride Foundation of Montana, and Transvisible Montana. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm sensitive that if you want to wear your mask, you can wear it. But it's harder for people on Zoom to hear if you're hearing, if you have that on. So if you could either talk up a little bit more or pull down your mask just while you're talking, however you feel comfortable, we just need to get it on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Abigail St. Lawrence, that's ST period, capital L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E, here on behalf of both the Montana Academy of Physician Assistants and the Montana Speech Language Hearing Association, both of which are healthcare professionals who provide healthcare to those of all ages experience gender dysphoria and trans individuals. Again, I'll save the more substantive testimony for the next bill, but we do want to go on record as opposing both of these bills and supporting our patients to participate in activity that promotes a healthy lifestyle and affirms who they are as individuals. And I do have written testimony, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Just handed to the first representative there. Thank you, Ms. Lawrence. Next opponent.
Chairman Usher, members of the committee, my name is Reverend Laura Jean Allen. Allen is spelled A-L-L-E-N. I am the senior minister at First Christian Church here in Helena. And I do, with your permission, I would like to share an open letter that's signed by 43 leaders, faith leaders from across the state who oppose HB 112. Can I give it?
Yeah, for the sake of time, if you have it written, if you could just pass it around and that'll go in the record.
I also have a testimony. So research from the CDC found that 2% of youth, nearly 2%, 1.8% of youth identify as transgender. Transgender youth reported significantly increased rates of depression, suicidality, victimization compared to their cisgender peers. They also found that 1 in 3 transgender youth reported attempted suicide, and almost 1/3 reported being a victim of sexual violence. It's my belief that these shared experiences occur not because trans people are inherently broken or damaged inside, but as a result of the way in which society perceives and reacts to their identity. Another study found that participation in team sports during adolescence leads to improved mental health outcomes in the long run, including lower chances of being diagnosed with depression or anxiety. I am not transgender, but I am LGBTQ. In high school, I lived in a rural town that was quite conservative. I repressed the parts of myself that I felt that others wouldn't accept. I hid my sexuality out of a fear that I would be ostracized by my classmates or bullied. I spent most of my time feeling like an outsider and believing that those around me wouldn't love me if they really knew who I was. I know what it feels like to suppress one's true identity out of a fear of being treated differently, and to live each day wondering when you might be discovered. Sports provided me with an opportunity to experience a sense of belonging in a time during which I felt very alone and unseen. For trans youth, sports may be the only thing they have to look forward to. Please don't take that away from them. When I was ordained, I took a vow to love, protect, and care for my congregation to the best of my abilities. I made this commitment not only to the people who look and believe as I do, but to every person in my congregation. When you assumed your role, you too agreed to work on behalf of all Montanans, ensuring that all of us have equal rights under the law. I urge you today to vote no on HB 112. Thank you.
I am Sienna Popiel, S-I-E-N-A-P-O-P-I-E-L. And I'm here to represent the Bozeman High School Sexuality and Gender Alliance in opposition to House Bill 112. So as we've established through previous testimony, anyone who's been on a sports team knows what a valuable experience it is, both in terms of both physical and mental health. I personally have played on basketball and volleyball teams, and those were incredibly informative experiences for me. Trans students, including transgender women, deserve the opportunity to participate in these extracurricular activities. Now, I would like to address the idea of being forced to play on the team that corresponds to your assigned sex. And I would like everyone in this room to imagine when you were in high school being told that the only way you could play a team sport was by changing in the dressing room of the opposite sex, of being forced to play on the team of the opposite sex. Would you have done that? I know that the transgender students that I'm here to represent would not take that bargain. And again, these are students who face increased discrimination, increased bullying, and increased scrutiny of their bodies. So these are obviously, these students experience more of these problems and are therefore more susceptible not only to the things that sports experience alleviates, but also to the reasons that they would not be able to play under this bill. So it's for these reasons that I strongly urge you to vote in opposition to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of this committee. First, I wish you a happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. My name is Jack Rink. That's R-I-N-C-K for the record. I'm the registered lobbyist on behalf of the Associated Students of the University of Montana. On behalf of UM students, we are strictly opposed to this bill. We craft legislative priorities, the first and most important of which is protecting and defending the funding for higher education on our campus. As such, collegiate sporting events are large revenue earners for not only the college, but also the surrounding Missoula community, small businesses who house and accommodate and feed visiting fans. So NCAA policy on championship host sites is as follows. The NCAA Board of Governors policy requires host sites to demonstrate how they will provide an environment that is safe, healthy, and free of discrimination, plus safeguards the dignity of everyone involved in the event. The NCAA historically is not afraid to enforce this policy. In March of 2016, the North Carolina State Legislature passed House Bill 2, colloquially known as the Bathroom Bill. This bill limited the use of restrooms to assigned sex at birth, not gender identity. As a result of this bill, the NCAA banned all championship events from the state until the law was overturned a little over a year later. In 2020, a bill similar to the one being discussed today, titled the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, was passed and signed into law in the state of Idaho. As a result, the NCAA barred Boise the privilege of hosting the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Regional Tournament in Boise during March Madness. This last August, a federal judge granted an injunction to block the law, and the NCAA rolled back. I find it hard-pressed to conjure up any reason or justification that the NCAA would grant an exception for Montana athletics. In fact, I think it would be ill-advised to assume that our state would be spared from facing similar consequences to North Carolina or Idaho. Passing this law could prevent UM and MSU from hosting any sort of FCS football playoff games and hinder the ability of any college in the state of hosting any sort of conference championship across all sports, both men and women's. So in alignment with our priority to protect higher education funding.
Can you please wrap it up?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I strongly urge you to vote no on this bill and allow the well-defined governance and policy directives to be continually held by the NCAA as they've been in the past. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman. We're listening to voices of opposition to House Bill 112, which would require transgender children in sports to play on the team, boys or girls, corresponding to the sex assigned to them at birth rather than to their gender identity.
Next opponent.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rachel Schmidt. That's spelled S-C-H-M-I-D-T. I am the lobbyist for the Associated Students of Montana State University, and I'm here to voice my opposition to this bill. Before I begin, I wanted to make a quick note that since the start of the session, I've heard many members of this legislature talk about the importance of both limited government and individual liberty. To that extent, I believe that House Bill 112 is a clear example of a time where we're deviating from those values, and I think that is important to note, though that's not the main point of this testimony. Today, I'm not going to talk about the outdated pseudoscience that's driving this bill. Instead, my goal is to make it clear that this bill is not something that the students of Montana State University want or need. I have three things to cover. First, after deeply and repeatedly reading this bill, I found that this bill goes against both ASMSU policy and local ordinance. When I was a student senator at MSU, I myself was on the team that rewrote the ASMSU discrimination statement to make sure that no one, regardless of any status, including sex, gender identity, and even genetic information, was discriminated against in the implementation of our policies, activities, or services. Similarly, Bozeman experienced a similar sentiment when they passed the non-discrimination ordinance in 2014, excuse me. And I think that it should note that the MSU community and Bozeman at large is against any sort of sentiment that's reflected in this bill. Second, MSU students are actively rejecting discrimination.
Can you please wrap it up?
Yes, sir. Every semester, hundreds of students partake in optional safe zone trainings, which are meant to educate on the issues of LGBTQ students. Already, the Diversity and Inclusion Student Commons have received tons of requests from student groups on campus for such trainings. This attitude suggests that students don't want this bill in any way, shape, or form. Third, there's no reason for why women's sports are in need of saving. The very title of this bill is rhetorically manipulative, and it suggests that women's sports are inherently in need of saving without giving a reason. I know many current female athletes, and I'm very close friends with many of them, and I've never heard a single concern that women's sports need to be saved. Thank you for listening to my testimony. I know there are a number of student athletes who've submitted written testimonies online. I really encourage you to read every single one of those. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Keaton Sunchild. I am the political director for Montana Native Vote, S-U-N-C-H-I-L-D. First, I want to start by saying the transgender community is not limited to urban areas. And second of all, someone earlier spoke of dreams and having dreams of playing sports in college and beyond. And those dreams are in everyone, not just straight people. They are living in the bodies of LGBT and trans athletes. And they're still on reservations. My mom won a state championship as the head basketball coach in Box Elder in 1998. And every time we go home to visit family, that's still talked about, that sports are one of the biggest things on our reservations. And we know that girls participating, regardless of how they were born, is an important thing for them to live healthy and safe lives. Banning trans girls from participating in sports is jeopardizing their mental health, which is already a priority on many of our reservation communities. So we can't further the stigma of banning these people from participating in their sports, because Montana has always been a place where you can write your own story, and this bill goes against that very premise, because all Montanans deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and House Bill 112 is harmful and out of touch with our values as a state, and I know that all of you in here will do the right thing and vote against House Bill 112. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other opponents in the room? Thank you.
LGBTQ youth are 4 times more likely to commit suicide. In our Indigenous nations, last year we lost 4 LGBTQ youth to suicide in the same week. To vote yes on this bill, you're telling all of Indian country that you don't care about their most vulnerable. As a trans Indigenous man, I walked into this building today and I was afraid. I'm gonna walk out into the hallway and I'm going to be afraid. To be afraid of my own land where my ancestors honored people like me, that doesn't feel good. So please tell Montanans that you care about all youth and all of their mental health. And please tell Indian country that you still care about us. I urge you to vote no on House Bill 12. Thank you.
Dandelion Cloverdale.
Piali, my name is Dandelion Cloverdale, D-A-N-D-I-L-I-O-N. Cloverdale, C-L-O-V-E-R-D-A-L-E. I believe 112 is a bill that bullies vulnerable Montanans, and I urge you to please vote no. I have submitted written testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Dahlia Kilsback.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Dahlia Kilsback, D-A-L-I-Y-A-H-K-I-L-L-S-B-A-C-K, and I represent the organization Western Native Voice. We are in strong opposition to House Bill 112 because of the irreparable harm it would cause to transgender and two-spirit youth. Thank you.
My name is Kev Ham, that's K-E-V and H-A-M-M. And I am the president of Big Sky Pride, and we rise in opposition of Bill 1112. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice Bissell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and the members of the committee. My name is Beatrix Frizzell. That's Frizzell, F-R-I-S-S-E-L-L. And I am a student at the University of Montana, as well as an athlete on the cross-country and track and field team. I was born and raised in Polson, Montana, and I am opposed to House Bill 112 and have submitted written testimony.
Thank you. Lindsay Wancor.
Hi, my name's Lindsay Wancor, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. I'm a cis hetero woman and a lifelong athlete, and I oppose HB 112 and HB 113. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Amanda Curtis, A-M-A-N-D-A-C-U-R-T-I-S. President of MFPE, the Montana Federation of Public Employees, speaking in opposition of this bill. I did submit written testimony that I'll refer you to. Thank you, committee.
Yes, hi, thank you. My name's John Muse, spelled M-U-E-S. I'm a fourth generation Montanan. I'm a 4 times deployed military officer. I'm an honor graduate of the United States Naval Academy. And I would encourage the Montana State Legislature not to bully vulnerable groups, and to do your job and address the great.
I'm sorry, sir. Just state.
My
spell your name, please.
My testimony has been submitted.
Thank you.
We've been listening to testimony submitted to the House Judiciary Committee on Martin Luther King Day in opposition to House Bill 112, which would require transgender kids in sports to play on the team, boys or girls, corresponding not to their gender identity, but to the sex assigned to them at birth. I thank our guests, Dr. Lauren Wilson and Kendra Nevin. You can hear Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM at 1 p.m. on the first and third Monday of every month, and you can also stream it live at kgvm.org. Most shows are also available anytime at kgvm.org. Thanks for joining us.